everyone. Welcome to today's call. My name's Kurt Mortensen. It's September 15th, and we got an echo, don't we? Well, what are our options? If you want, if you're on a internet phone, hit star six. It's probably you. Maybe even a cell phone will do it. If it, so star six will mute yourself out, or I can mute everyone out, but I don't like to do that. Let's see if it gets any better. Star six, if you're on internet phone, cell phone. All right, let's see if that did it. No, that didn't do it. Anybody else out there? Let's see. If I can mute everyone out. Hold on, let me see if I can mute it. The echo gone? No, that didn't work. Look at my codes here. Anyway, if you would hit star six, that's we'll mute yourself out, and then we'll come back in live. We'll hit star six again. Doesn't look like I can turn off the echo. I tried on my end, it's not working. Well, we'll just do it anyway. And hopefully everything works out. So if everyone can hit star six while we're doing the presentation, and then we'll bring you back in live, star six. So everyone needs to hit star six. And then when we open it up for questions, star six will bring you back in live, and hopefully it's better. It's not a good communication day, it sounds like. But it sounds like we got rid of the echo. It was one of you who just muted. You are the guilty party. Let's talk about it. Now, for those of you new on the call, it's pretty simple. We're going to go over kind of a persuasion tool, how to apply it, then we'll talk about questions you have about it, any questions that you're running into, spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes on that, and then open it up for questions. The goal is quick to the point. You apply it this week. It becomes part of you and who you are. I want to talk about today, well, let me put it this way. Some of my latest research shows some things that are critical for you to put into any presentation, any type of sales copy, and I call it tests. And this is something you want to take really good notes on because it'll make a huge difference in your ability to resonate with everyone. The latest research shows that, as you know, there are different types of personalities and different things resonate with different types of personalities. Your mistake as a persuader, one of the top 10 mistakes as a persuader, is you tend to persuade others how you like to be persuaded. And that is wrong. You need to learn to adapt to different people, to different styles. And when you're writing sales copy or you're persuading in front of a large group, you need to include all four of these. So I want to tell you all what they are so you're able to understand exactly how to apply those. And then I'm going to give you an example of something. Then I'm going to give you an example, and you can see how they resonate with everybody. So here we go. Now, make sure you write this in your notes. Test is T-E-S-S. The first one is testimonies, testimonials. Every presentation, all sales copy needs to include a testimonial. The second one is an example. The human brain uses examples, and it's very persuasive, and I'll give you examples of that. The third one is statistics for our analytical and logical people, and the last one, which resonates with most people, is stories. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to influence you on something, and I want you to kind of listen to this and get a feel for what I say and what's the most persuasive to you. I'm going to use all four of these, testimony, example, statistics, and story. And as I say it, and if you're influenced, you'll be pick the one that resonates with you the most. Here we go. I want to talk about goal setting. Now, everybody can moan all they want. We've heard it before. It makes us tense. It makes us uneasy. Goal setting is a huge piece of your success. And as a persuader, it's important for you to help other people achieve their goals. The challenge is we've heard it before, or we tried it a couple times. It didn't work. We've realized that if we didn't do it, we wouldn't feel bad, but in the long run, would be a failure anyway. Most people don't know how to do it. Success expert Brian Tracy says that those who put their goals in writing, it triples their commitment and triples their success and triples their income. We know this to be true. As human beings, we need goals. Not having a goal is like a ship without a rudder. Not writing down your goals means it's just a dream. It's not real. It's critical for your success. I think the main reason most people don't put their goals in writing is they've never learned how. For example, if I wanted to learn how to go snow skiing, and I drove up to a resort, got my ticket, rented some skis, and they asked, hey, do you need lessons? I'm like, no, I'll figure it out. How hard could it be? And I got on the chairlift, and I went up, and there was a sign that had the black diamond on it, thinking, oh, that's a good place to get off. And I get off, and I go down this expert hill with no lessons. What's going to happen? Well, I'm going to hit a tree, break my leg, and say, well, this is a terrible sport. I'm never going to do it again. And that's what most people have done with goals. Every book on success I've ever read talks about goals. Every new millionaire I've interviewed has their goals in writing. It works, you just don't know the right way to do it. And there are a number of studies out there. I've seen about 5 different studies that show, on average, 3-5% of people put their goals in writing. And we know that the people that put their goals in writing are achieving and earning 10, 20, 30 times more than those who aren't. It is a success principle that's critical to your success. Understand the power of goal setting. In fact, let me give you the formula in your own life so you can do this the right way. It will increase your success. Here's the 4 parts. The first is the what. What is your goal? Let's say you want a goal to become financially independent. Now, that's a good goal. The challenge is you need to make sure it's specific and realistic. So maybe you want to become a millionaire. Make it specific, $1 million or $500,000, the exact amount. You need to know the what. The second one is the when. What is the deadline? What is the deadline between your goals? You have to have a deadline. That's the when. So we have the what, the when, and the third one is the how. What is your game plan? What books are you going to read? Who's going to mentor you? What CDs are you going to listen to? What seminars are you going to go to? Have a game plan. Now, here's the point to where you have to be flexible. You can adjust your how. Maybe you need to work a little harder here, maybe more time on the weekend or more CDs in your car. Just like when you shoot a rocket to the moon, there's mid-course corrections. Just like when you achieve your goals, there's mid-course corrections. That's okay as long as you're aiming towards that target. If you don't have a target, you're never going to hit the target. You're never going to accomplish anything. The fourth one and most important one is the why. So we have the what, the when, the how, and the why. Most people don't fail because of a lack of goals. They fail because of a lack of reasons behind those goals. I've done a work with a gentleman named Dan Jansen. He's an Olympian. He's a speed skater. You probably saw him at his last Olympics as a commentator. He has an incredible story. He held the world record in the oval ice skating. You've seen the 500 meter, and I think there's a 1,000 meters. And 500 meters, that was his race. He had the gold medal. No, he had the world record, and he was going to the Olympics, and he was going to win it all. He's going to bring back a gold medal. He went, and he didn't even place. So he trained for another 4 years because his goal was to get a gold medal. So he trained for another 4 years, went, somebody cut him off, they slipped and fell, both disqualified. Trained for another 4 years, tragedy in his family, sister diagnosed with cancer, brain wasn't in it, his mind wasn't in it, didn't place. Trained for another 4 years. Now if you're doing the math here, that's 16 years. 16 years. It was his last Olympics, he was getting too old, but he stuck to this was it. His last chance. And everyone knew he had the world record. They said, oh, we have the world record. He's like, no, I want a gold medal. So he made He qualified for the medal round for the 500 meter. And in the medal round, somebody cut him off. They both slipped and fall. They both slipped and fell, and they were both disqualified. Nothing. Gone. Done. But he also qualified for the 1,000 meter, which he was pretty good at. He qualified for the medal round, but he had never won any medals or didn't hold any records. But this was his last shot. He did it anyway, and it was one of those incredible moments in Olympic history when he not only won the gold medal, he broke the Olympic record, did a victory lap with his newborn daughter. He won the gold medal after 16 years. And we sat down with him. We said, Dan, how did you do it? How did you persevere? Most people can't even get out of bed in the morning. You stuck to a goal for 16 years. He thought about it for a second and said, you know what? When I was younger, I had a wise coach that sat me down and made me list all the reasons why I wanted that gold medal, for me, for my family, and financially. And I'd practice 6 hours a day, 6 days a week to get that gold medal. And half the time I felt like going home and giving up. When I felt like going home and giving up, I'd pull that list of reasons for my speed suit, and I'd find something that would inspire me to get me back in the game. Because people don't fail because of lack of goals. It's a lack of reasons behind those goals. Okay, let me do a timeout here. Which one resonated with you the most? For how many of you was it the testimonial from Brian Tracy? Say yes. Anybody? I guess everyone's muted. Okay. But think in your brain, how many of you was the example of snow skiing and not knowing how to do it? For how many of you was it the statistics? The studies that show the 3-5% that are doing it are earning and achieving more than the other 97% combined. How many was the story? The Dan Jansen. Okay.
Story.
What I want to point out here is, in a typical audience, if we could see hands, that the story would resonate with over half of your audience. Another 20% is going to be your analytical people. They're going to drool over the statistics. Another portion is going to like the testimonial. If they like Brian Tracy and it's a credible testimonial, they'll resonate with them. So the rest is divided up between the testimonial and the example. So if you want to resonate with every personality type, when you want to resonate with that audience, you use testimonial, example, statistics, and stories. And let's talk about each one of these. The first one is testimonials. We know in infomercials, when they fail, when they have a 90% failure rate, the first thing they fix is they add more testimonials. You need testimonials. People always believe somebody else before they believe you because you have something to gain. You can get an expert testimonial, somebody who is an expert that they recognize as an expert. You can get a peer testimonial, which is somebody like them, somebody who had the same problem that they had and they found a solution and you are the solution, they need to do it. So make sure it's an unbiased person, someone that's qualified to give a testimonial. Make sure it's relevant to what you're talking about. This is powerful. This is a way to borrow credibility, and some people resonate very well with testimonials because that is a form of social validation, which is one of the 12 laws of persuasion. Then there's examples. Examples are powerful. They're used to illustrate an idea. They make it come alive. They make it more... They make it make more sense. So if you can use vivid and concrete examples, they have more impact on the listener than a lot of other things you can use. Because you could explain something for 5 minutes, but if you have a brief, quick example, you're like, that makes sense. They clarify and reinforce your idea. They personalize your ideas, and that's what makes it powerful. You can explain that there's a cockroach problem, but if you make it come alive and make people feel it, a good example will really help you out. I can talk about how important personal development is. So, you know, not having a personal development program is like a bank account with a hole in it or a bucket with a hole in it. Eventually it'll all drain out. That's the importance of a personal development program. So if I wanted to say we need to stop pollution, I come up with an example saying, not stopping pollution is like never flushing the toilet. Okay, maybe that's a bad example, but it made it come alive. Or If I want to talk about anger, getting angry at somebody is like drinking poison and hoping it hurts them. Very simple. We can talk about 10 minutes why we don't like to have visitors and guests, but we can use the old example of visitors and fish are the same. They both start to smell after 2 or 3 days. That makes it come alive. It's very simple and easy. The latest research shows that examples not only personalize your ideas, but a powerful example you can use is a metaphor. Metaphor increases mental involvement. And if you look at commercials or other persuasive articles that you read or magazines, people use metaphors. They're powerful. They make things come alive. You can take a simple thing like the weather. You'll be amazed how often we use these. We could say things like, he showered her with gifts. The event was clouded over protests. My memory's a little foggy. The winds of change, you're the sunshine of my life. It's going to be clear skies from now on. He became a lightning rod for criticism. The boss thundered into the room. Homework is a breeze. Cold reception. Business suffered a long dry spell. The season of change. She was unsure if her proposal could weather the storm of scrutiny. It's part of our communication, and it increases your ability to persuade. Examples are powerful. Next one is statistics. Be careful here. Your analytical people need statistics, but they will turn people off real fast if you use too many. Make sure you explain your statistics. And the reason is we know, especially if you've ever taken a statistic class, that people can cook the books. You can find any statistic you want. So you need to make sure that you explain the sources of your statistic, where they came from. You should probably round off any complicated statistics. Again, careful here, because you can prove anything with statistics. You could say 99% of all home-based businesses are successful. Do you believe that?
No.
Now, the key is it doesn't matter if it's truthful, it has to be believable. Now, that's a true statistic, but it's true after, I think, about 20 years. Okay? If you've been in the same home-based business for 20 years, that's true. But you have to explain them because people are very, very, very skeptical. What's your source? Where is it coming from? Statistics are powerful, but make sure you round off the complicated ones. If you were going to say the moon is 238,855 miles from the Earth, you might want to round that to 239,000 miles. But also you want to make your statistics come alive. For example, most people don't realize how much money $1 trillion is. So $5 trillion now. Let's talk about $1 trillion. And here's the example: if you had $1 million and spent it at the rate of $1,000 a day, you'd run out of money in less than 3 years. If you had $1 billion and you spent $1,000 a day, you'd run out of money in 3,000 years. If you were $1 trillion in debt and spend $1,000 a day, you'd run out of money in 3 million years. That's how you make it come alive. Statistics are powerful. The most important one, and we know that's critical to your success, is stories. Top persuaders and those that influence for a living, they know how to sell with stories. They know how to persuade with stories because stories grab attention. You could be off in la-la land, but someone tells a story and you come back. They simplify complex ideas. They trigger emotions. And the powerful thing here is they persuade without detection. They automatically create involvement and attention. Remember that facts presented alone will not persuade as powerfully as when they're coupled with stories. They strike a chord with your listeners. It's like tapping into inspiration and faith in a person's innermost feelings that will cause them to be moved by his stories. So what a story does is they answer questions in the audience's mind about who you are and what you represent. You can tell them that you're credible and you're honest, they won't believe you, but if you tell a story about when you were credible and honest, now all of a sudden they'll believe you. So if you can tell a story about being funny, they will apply that to you. Remember, building rapport comes from stories, and that's a key ingredient to persuasion. Pack your stories with authenticity, passion, humor, and make sure they're straightforward and not confusing. Practice your stories. Important piece of your success. But how do you know what type of story do you use? Well, pick a story that fits your audience. Does it support your message? And the best stories to tell is the story that you love, that you've lived, and that you've learned from. It's much easier to tell a story that you've experienced than borrowing a story from somebody else. But it's better to borrow a story from somebody else than not use any story at all. That's the power of stories. You could use a folk tale, a myth, heroic tale, ghost stories, Bible stories, fairy tales, oral tradition, love stories, historical accounts, childhood adventures. You can pull stories from anywhere. You can pull stories from friends, from Chicken Soup for the Soul, off the internet. You know, give credit where credit's due, but there's some great stories out there. You can think about embarrassing moments or sad moments or things that happened growing up, sports, dating, hobbies, heroes, photographs. You can think about proud moments or family vacations or travel or times when you overcome an obstacle or things that happened with your boss or the workplace, failures, victories. You can take a look at your journal or diaries if you keep those. These are power. Again, stories are going to resonate with about 50%, more than 50% of your audience. So identify a story you want to use and practice it to make sure you can connect with your audience. And think to yourself, well, what do I want to accomplish with that story? What mood do I want to create? What feelings do you want to invoke? Because if you want to build emotion in your audience, which will help you influence them, stories is a powerful way to do that. So my message today is if you want to resonate with anybody, whether it be on an internet site, writing sales copy, whether in a group presentation, you need to use all four of these: testimonials, examples, statistics, and stories. So this is what I want your homework to be. Very, very simple. I want you to find a story. What is your story? What is your signature story? Before you go into your call to action, before you ask somebody for money, you probably should have a pretty good story. A relevant story. A story about maybe when you had the same challenge or somebody else had the same challenge and this is what you found and this is what happened. Practice telling a story to other people. Just because it sounded good the first time, practice it. Paint the picture. Make it come alive. Great persuaders, when we interview prospects, it's like they made it. It's like they were watching a movie. It came alive. They could see it, taste it, touch it, and feel it. That's the power of the story. So practice. Pick the story. Practice the story. And paint the picture in such a way that when you tell that story, they're there. That's why stories persuade without detection, because they put themselves in the story. They're reliving the story. And that story persuades them without detection. Testimonials, examples, statistics, stories, you include those in your presentations, you include those in your sales copies, you include those in any type of letters that you send out, you'll see a dramatic increase in those that you're able to persuade and influence. Mm. Questions, comments, or rude remarks, I'll take them all.
I'm Kurt?
Yeah.
It also would work if you're trying to persuade people to sign up. If you're a network marketing distributor and you're trying to get people in your downline as well, is that right? Is it a good idea?
Absolutely. Now, if you're talking to them one-on-one, you're going to try to peg the personality a little bit, but a lot of times with network marketing, you're on a webinar or a conference call or a group situation. That's when you need to say, okay, we need those. So a testimonial would be somebody that they resonate with. A lot of times, they'll use Donald Trump, they'll use Kiyosaki, Robert Allen, Dennis Waitley, have all endorsed network marketing. That would be a great testimonial. If it was a health product, you talk about someone who did this and this happened. A great example you could throw in there about having your own business. A lot of example they use is like when they're contrasting the price, you know, how much does it cost to get into a Subway, for example. That would be something that makes it ring true to them.
Kurt, usually what happens is that, of course, this is a whole other topic that I listened to your CD on objections. Usually, whenever I would always get like the most resistance and any objections and everything is like whenever you tell them you're ready to take their payment of like $300, and after you've gone through the whole recruiting script of the video that we have them watch usually gives statistics and testimonials of people who have been successful with it and everything like that. And like some examples have been given. So at what point, in a way, can you more or less persuade them and let them know that those aren't actresses who are in the video, those are real people?
Well, I'd let them know before they watched it.
Okay.
These are true, actual stories. This is what's happening. This is what's going on.
So okay.
Just let them know, you know, let them know ahead of time, and stories work very well. Because the biggest challenge with network marketing is, even though you have great stories and statistics, they can't see themselves doing it.
Right.
They can't see themselves talking to their family and friends, and so there needs to be some type of a story where you say, you know what, you put yourself, I didn't want to join network marketing because I didn't want to be the pest to talk to all your family and friends, and I wasn't going to do it that way. But I found that I could build my business via the internet or via Twitter and do this, and I figured, man, I can answer emails when people have questions, and all of a sudden, like, they could see themselves doing that, and that becomes very, very persuasive.
Right, but if you want to get them signed up as a, if your intention is to persuade them to get signed up as a distributor, the thing is that if they can't see themselves doing it, I guess what you have to do is you have to more or less get them to persuade themselves into doing it. Isn't that right?
Exactly, or persuade themselves to do it, but see themselves doing it. See themselves that it's only going to take 10 minutes a day. To see themselves, if they don't want to talk to family and friends, there's another way to do that, to see that. If they don't take charge of their financial future, you know, they could be out of a job in a year, and that sort of
right.
thing will help them persuade themselves.
Right, okay.
Any other questions about what we talked about today or what you're running into?
Yeah, Kirk, in developing an e-commerce business, is the blog a real good tool to implement your story?
Oh, yeah, blogs are great for stories. They're great for search engines, too, just kind of as a bonus. The blog is a great place for kind of a gradual leaking of a story where people can get bits and pieces of it to where, you know, there's a challenge, there's a problem, what to do, you found the solution, and that's what blogs do really well because, as a persuader, remember, you're problem solvers, and so blogs talk about problems, people are looking for solutions, you have the same problem, this is what you found, there's a solution, and that becomes very persuasive.
Good, thank you.
You bet. Any other questions? I don't understand dog, but I don't know if there's a question or not. Any other questions out there? All right, so think about it this week with your presentation, especially with your stories. If there's one you can master all those, the most important one is going to be stories. The other personalities are divided between the others. But practice those. If the replay lines give us 24 hours to post is at recording.advancedinfluence.com. We post a MP3 file, and we post a link just to listen through the phone if you want to do that. That's possible for you. Any other last-minute questions before we let you go for next week? All right, everyone have an awesome week. Go persuade with power, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, Kurt.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
All right.